Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the At-Large Technology Task Force call taking place on Monday, the 10th of October, 2016 at 1500 UTC. On the call today, we have Alfredo Cauldron, Olivier Crippen-LeBlanc, Judith Hellerstein, Baron Doden, Dave Ananti-Luxing, Satish Babu, Stuart Clark, and Harold Arco. We have listed apologies from Gordon Chillicott. From staff, we have Josh Blosch, Mark Siegel, Karina Ace, Ariel Liang, and myself, Terry Agnew. Our Spanish interpreters today are Veronica and David. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking, not only for transcription purposes, but also for our interpreters. With that, I'll turn it back over to you, Dave. Please begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone to the At-Large Technology Task Force call. On this call, we're going to have a presentation update by Josh Balch on Adobe Connect and the new recent change that ICANN has implemented regarding the use of Adobe Connect. And also, we're also hearing a little update from ICANN staff on some of the technology issues, particularly from the BlackRouter mailing list technology issues. So before we do that, let's go into our review of action items. The consolidated action items has been, much more cleaned up. We had a conference call with Ariel and the TTF co-chairs, Glenn and Judith, to review and update and remove some of the TTF action items that accumulated over time. So we have a much more streamlined consolidated action items list. I don't think we have had a chance to do any updates. The only update I can see is that I've asked Lutz Don Hacker regarding the special purpose call on OpenPGP, he should respond very soon on that that call. The idea is to have that call later this month on OpenPGP. Judith, do you have any upfront or action items to report on? I see your hand raised. Go ahead.
Judith Hellerstein, I don't have anything to report on, but some of the action items were things that were going to get done by this meeting. We had one about the exit poll functionality, which Josh may tell us about. And also, one of the items was also scheduling the face-to-face, which I think could also be almost taken off. And then Karina and Mark will be following up, like you said, on the Lacroix mailing list. I think that's mostly and we were going to also ask IT about the potentiality of whether we should keep testing other conferencing solutions, or is it too difficult to do now that we have moved to participate.icann.org?
Thanks, Judith. This is Dave. So regarding the Lacroix mailing list, there's going to be updates from Karina and or Mark on the Lacroix mailing list, so we'll wait till we get to that item on the agenda. Regarding the conferencing solutions, one of the discussions we've been having is that given that Adobe Connect does seem to have the most features in terms of the conferencing solutions, and that there doesn't seem to be any conferencing solution that will match or exceed Adobe Connect's features, so that we will switch to it. So we will recommend a switch at this time. The question is whether a report should be done still. My thinking is yes. And the reason why I think we should do a summary report is that I think some of these conferencing solutions can help at-large structures help to do their online conference calls and so forth. It doesn't have to be an elaborate report, but we just do need to have volunteers step up to help put together a few slides as to which conferencing solution works would work best for at-large structures. That's my suggestion. There was one other conferencing solution that the IETF was to be looking at, yes, which is Meet Echo. That's probably one more conferencing solution we could probably just look at. And then, given our experience with all of these conferencing solutions, let's have a slide just to show which ones will be great for at-large structures to help do their online conferences for their internal meetings or for as a webinar. So that's my suggestion for that approach for conferencing solutions. Okay, any other thoughts or comments? Okay, all right, so let's move ahead to the next agenda item, and that's a conversation with Josh Balch on the changes on how ICANN uses Adobe Connect, and also some of the technology issues related to Adobe Connect. Josh, thanks for taking the time to be on this call. I know you're a very busy person, especially with the upcoming ICANN meeting and so forth. So the floor is, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Dev. I appreciate you guys inviting me along. I'll try to keep this brief, but I'm just going to go through. There has been a lot of questions, over the last couple of months, just based on, feature sets and things that have changed. So this is going to be just kind of a quick summary, and I'll open the floor up for questions at the end. So right now we have 5 days left on our ICANN.adobeconnect.com servers. Once this expires, basically all of the content that we've posted over the last, 7-8 years that we've had it will still be available. However, we have removed everybody's host and administrative rights as of the 15th. So if anybody needs content, and this goes for community as well, or security settings changed on a recording, if you want to make something that was private, public, or something that was public, private, whatever, you can submit that to tech-support at ICANN.org. So on the new servers, participate.icann.org, right now they are up and running. That's what we're running on right now. We have been experiencing a few bugs related to audio as we work through the integrations with the phone providers. This is a matter of trying to get 3 different companies all to work together and to make sure everybody's settings are all correct. We ran into probably about almost 2.5 weeks worth of delays initially when we were setting this up, just in trying to get through some single sign-on and some security issues. But, Mike Brennan, who has been in charge of this product, has done an amazing job of kind of wrangling all of the different companies involved and getting the various aspects of this working. And so right now, we're just kind of going through and just there are a few minor bugs that will come up, and we've just been hitting those as we can. And so with this new system, Connect Solutions is who our partner is with this. So they're basically our private host at this point. And they have a team that is working around the clock, working on issues for us and in different things. There are some little back-end things that we're trying to resolve. Alfredo asked me what the turnover time frame for a ticket being submitted. Generally, it's within 24 hours something will happen. If it is something urgent, we try to get that escalated right away. So if there is, it kind of depends on the urgency of the ticket. If it's a problem in an Adobe room, we try to address that right away. If it's something where it's changing security settings or whatever, that usually gets bumped to a lower status and will be handled within 24 hours. So improved security features with the full implementation of single sign-on. This is one of the goals of ICANN's IT area is to get this because it just significantly improves security and access, from that standpoint. So, and then once the implementation is complete and fully operational, we'll start exploring custom pods. So a lot of the rest of this conversation is going to be on custom pods. And just kind of where we can go from here. So one of the first questions that I wanted to address was about polling. Polling in Adobe Connect, the comment was, so what I've done here is the comments are in black and then my response is in red, just so we're all on the same page here. Mobile use, which we're not able to see the polls, inability to for users to select one more than one answer. So I went through and explored this because I wanted to make sure polling is not something that I use on a regular basis, so I wanted to go through and explore this a little bit. Using the Adobe Connect poll pod does allow for multiple answers, and it is confirmed. I went through and checked. It does work on the web, the add-in, and the mobile application. And then additional information on the notes. So the very first in the web links pod, if you click on the first link, that is some additional notes on just notes, chat, Q&A, and poll pods. However, the one thing that I wanted to explain about the poll pods is that it is really designed to be more of a one-question poll. So if you have, 10 questions, then in reality, it was designed to be as an interactive thing to where that if I had a question right now for you guys, do you like polls, then I would have that pop up and everybody would be able to answer the question. Now, that is different than surveys, so I want to make sure that we're not getting the two confused. Now, surveys are a little bit of a different question, and so I wanted to just kind of, recommend there is an option at the end when we close one of the Adobe Connect meet rooms that you can kick it over to a web link. That can be SurveyMonkey. It can be anything that we, deem as appropriate to be able to do a survey, but I just wanted to clarify the difference between a survey and a poll. All right. So as for custom pods, the multilingual chat pods, would these work on mobile? What's the possible timeline for testing and implementation? So there's a company that a fourth company that we can partner with that does do customization for Adobe Connect, and that was one of the reasons that we went to private servers is because now we have the ability to be able to do that. We have the ability to be able to manipulate the back end of Adobe Connect and customize things to our needs. So it would be about $36,000 per year. So I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit of a steep price tag for me, when I initially saw that. But that would apply to both desktop and mobile applications. I don't have any allocation for funding for that in FY17 right now because I went through all of my funding for Adobe. We basically put all of that towards just implementing into the private servers because the price tag jumped up quite a bit when we did that. But it allowed us to be able to customize things moving forward, and I think that that's really important for us to do. You know what? I think the links, if we had put the PDF, the PowerPoint up, you'd be able to click on them, but in the PDF, I'm not sure that you can. So the multilingual chat pods, this reflects a 10% discount that eSync training would give us. The desktop only, if we only wanted to provide that multilingual chat, it would be about $30,000. If we only wanted to do mobile, it would be $18,000. Neither of those really makes sense. I thought that it would make most sense to do both for $36,000. Now, the way that the chat pod would work would be that, as you can see here, in our current chat pod, there would be an additional box or a drop-down that you would then select the language that you are using. So then what it would do is it would use Google Translate on the back end, and then it would, so if I, Josh, had typed in something in English and say that Terry had selected French when she logged in, then she would be reading everything in French from that point. All right, so moving on to the Adobe Connect recordings. Would the changes impact availability of Adobe Connect recordings to past conference calls, Adobe Connect recordings in MP4 format and other sites like YouTube? No, there is no changes to that. That content would it's still all going to be available. There's not going to be any changes in that. We will leave that up for the next several years until at some point we deem that the content can be retired. But at this point, the change to participate doesn't change any of that, and there should be nothing different from the past with regard to converting things to MP4 content and availability. So we'll still be able to operate exactly the same way that we did in the past. If there's any questions or anything on that or concerns, you know, let us know. Let either myself or Mike know, and we're happy to go through and work out those issues. So selecting more than one audio channel in the Adobe Connect room. So this is an ongoing project to see what products and customizations can be made available for the support of this feature request. Right now, there isn't a timeline or a product that's available that provides, you know, what we're looking for on this. So there's always, you know, from my team's perspective, we're always looking for ways to implement this. This is important because it also, you know, I mean, we see the difference as well, you know, and it's that you have to log into multiple tools to get different languages, that type of thing. So we completely understand that. So, you know, we're looking, you know, hopefully in FY18 or something, it might be something where we can have something customized or built. Now, just my initial conversations with eSync training, it could be anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 for the customization, you know, and that's not including annual fees. So it is something I think that is, it should be a high priority for us, but it's a matter of us allocating and getting funding for that. So which pods will work with mobile devices and which devices are these? Most people use iOS, Android, and Linux. Will Adobe Connect work with Linux? There's kind of two questions. I merged them together. So most standard pods that come with Adobe Connect will work on the mobile. However, there is a few exceptions that won't work, and I went through and tested this just to make sure. The file share pod, the web link pod, don't work on the mobile. And the reason is because right now we're in a transition between Flash, and right now we have three different things that are being in play with Adobe Connect. One is Flash, one is Java, and one is HTML5. So the mobile app is running in Java and HTML5, and so as the custom pods, they are now can be developed in Java or HTML5. Which then allows it to work on the mobile side. So as Adobe's going through and fixing up their native pods, they're going through and adjusting that. So, you know, slowly but surely we're getting there to where that everything will be Java-based or HTML5-based. But another app, pod that currently does not work on mobile is the Scribe pod, so the closed captioning pod. You also see timers, YouTube, and music won't work from the mobile side as well because those were all custom Swift files. They're all custom Flash files. But like I said, the transition is slow. We're getting there. As the demand for those pods increases, then we are able to, you know, get those working on the mobile side. And like you saw in the previous slide, you know, there is a cost to customers doing this, and so the drive is a little bit slower because, you know, you have to wait for that supply and demand. So this is a couple answers on the question continued. So Linux is not strongly taken into consideration because it's less than 1% of the Adobe Connect users are Linux-based. So from a business perspective for Adobe, this is not an area of focus, nor will it be in the future. The last Linux update was for Adobe Connect 8. We're currently on Adobe Connect 9 and have been for about a year and a half. The official statement for Adobe on Adobe Connect 9 is it just says, please note that although there is no currently no add-in for Linux, users on Linux, Ubuntu, Red Hat, and Open FUSE can attend or host present meetings with a browser. So basically they're just recommending the browser. Now, I know that some of you guys have tested this and you have a workaround for this, but I just wanted to be upfront that, you know, the support for Linux I don't believe will continue, you know, unless there is a strong demand. Mobile is the only available for Apple, Android, and BlackBerry. Satish, so yes, I do agree, but unfortunately we're driven by, you know, the economics of, you know, the larger perspective of global users for Adobe. You know, Linux is a little bit tougher to, you know, work with from a remote participation because it is limited on, you know, the resources that are available for it. You know, but with that being said, it's not something I, you know, the question at the top of the call was, about exploring other tools. If there is another tool that meets or exceeds the, you know, abilities of Adobe Connect, I am all, you know, ears and completely open to testing and potentially moving over to those. By no means is ICANN married to Adobe Connect. It just happens to be the one tool that we have found that meets, you know, the majority of our needs and is the most customizable to what we need. So audio quality, will it be improved with the new ICANN-hosted Adobe? We are almost completely converted over to the new servers and working through the load balancing issues, ensuring best audio connections for the calls. The short answer is yes. We should see a pretty significant improvement. Now, this doesn't mean that if a phone carrier is having issues that the phone call is still not going to have problems. Or, you know, some people that are dialing in from countries that infrastructure is not the best, this is still going to be problematic. But it is something that as the demands from certain areas of the world increase and the infrastructure is improved, that we will continue to see. You know, I can say over the last 5 or 6 years, the call quality has, significantly increased, for a lot of our calls. So let's see. And just one thing I just wanted to say, and I think I said this earlier, is, this is really a pretty complicated setup on the back end. That we've been working through a lot of little minor issues of making sure all the links work and it's at all of the, you know, that we have peering sessions correctly set up with our, telephone providers, and that includes Adigo, Verizon, PGI, and to be able to do that. And the other thing that I wanted to say about audio quality is it really plays into exactly the quality of internet that you have at home. So if a participant has, is only pushing 1 meg of data, the audio quality for this particular call is going to be pretty low. So it's just one of those things where, there are a lot of things, especially with the switch, that there's a lot of perceived, issues that somebody would have not normally noticed, which I completely appreciate. And so I want people to keep reporting these issues and we'll kind of keep working through them. But it is one of those things where there are a lot of factors that play into, all audio quality and how things, run through. There are a lot of things that all have to line up perfectly for a perfectly crystal clear call. So then moving on. So the ability to put in multiple pods, including one that uses machine translation when captioning is not available, and ability to have two captioning pods, one for English and the other for Spanish. So right now there's not currently a tool that does machine translation. So from me speaking, turning it into text, that is integrated with Adobe Connect. I don't have a feeling that that's going to be available for a few years because the technology is still in its infancy. Even if you go to, if you're using, Apple's products or Google's products and those, you still see, I would say, we're probably at a 50 or 60%, understanding rate from that standpoint. So, due to the nature of live scribing, closed captioning, it's not possible to have two live scribing teams working on two languages within the same Adobe Connect room. It would be kind of like having two presentations going at the same time. The one thing that I would say that it's comparable to is to having two interpreters on the same phone line for the same call speaking at the same time. So technically, this is not currently possible to provide dual service, and it's the way that those pods are particularly set up is because they basically have a connection. They, as in the scribe, have a connection to the Adobe Connect room. The closest example that I have that the way that Adobe Connect was designed to be operated would have been from Netbook Mundial in Brazil a couple of years ago, where basically the Adobe Connect rooms are designed to be specifically dedicated to a language. So if we were to do this properly, it would be a dedicated room in English and a dedicated room in Spanish. Now, we are at that awkward stage in ICANN where we don't have quite the population to be able to drive both rooms operating, you know, in independent languages. So I kind of feel like we're at that teenage years where we're not able to, you know, quite jump into adulthood, but yet we're not able to get out of the problems that we have, you know, with our teenage years. All right, so moving on to the English, and then Judith, I'll come to you here in just a sec. We'll get through all of these, and then I'll open up the floor for questions. So the English closed captioning pod with machine Google Translate. So this is something that I wanted to show you that is potentially available. It's something that we definitely need to test out and look into. So this is something that we hope to look into before December. But there is a custom caption pod. So it's basically taking the scribe pod that is being done in English, and then any user would be able to select the language that they want to read that English in. And then it uses Google Translate on the back end and would potentially translate up to 90 different languages. So eSync is also the one who provides this. The custom pods for about $30,000 annually, and then has, if they had just given me an example of seven languages, it would be about $20 an hour while that pod runs. Now, we pay per hour for that pod run anyway as it is, and it's about 10 cents a minute right now, you know, to run just with the scribe. So from that perspective, you know, we understand that there is an hourly cost. The evaluation that ICANN has, and it's that I've worked out with language services, that is absolutely imperative because, you know, like we have, you know, Spanish interpreters on this call. There is nothing that would change the proper interpretation of a live human, you know, doing, you know, in interpreting what I'm saying. You know, machine translation is inherently rough. So this is something where if something was put into play, we have to see at least an 80% accuracy rate. You know, Google says that it's about 90%, and they just put out an announcement that they have improved that, that it's, you know, the phrase interpretation. But at this point, unless it is 80% or higher with the context of ICANN, related issues, it's something that we would probably postpone on. There is a demo link here that you can check out. And this is something, too, that we will continue to pursue because each year, you know, the quality gets higher. You know, I mean, look at this, you know, 6 years ago, and it was, you know, extremely awful. And now it's actually, you know, somewhat understandable. So just as something to be aware of. Okay, so this slide here, just so you guys know, is not necessarily public information. This is was information that I was shared with me when I met with Adobe Connect directly. So the Adobe user profile has about 40 million users right now. A little over 62% of that's Windows. 24% is the add-in, so a lot of you guys are probably using the add-in now. A little over 11% is Apple product, 1% is Chrome OS, and less than 5%, is less than 1% is Linux. Just to kind of explain a little bit, so most pods are already HTML5 based to be able to work in the mobile app. There's a slow transition from Flash to Java or HTML5. They are interchangeable from Adobe's perspective. In the next 9 to 18 months, we should hopefully see Adobe push a switch to HTML5. They have demo products that they are testing out with some clients. So the way that they would prioritize the room launch, and I actually saw this, is so exactly when you type in the URL that it'll try to launch Java, the Java add-in first. And if you don't have it, then it'll try to say, oh, well, does this user have Flash in the web browser? And if you don't have that, then it'll launch into the HTML5 web browser. Now, the HTML5 user experience will be different than the typical add-in. You know, the design and the graphics are a little bit different. They tried to match it up as closely as possible, but because it is 100% web-based, it is a little bit different. And just one thing that I wanted to say was natively, HTML5 cannot share camera or mic audio and requires other APIs. web RTC or something like that. So that is really why there's been a delay from Adobe's perspective on pushing, because they're not 100% sure that HTML5 is really the end-all product that'll go there. Now, granted, they have a vested interest in Flash, so I'm sure that they're dragging their feet on that perspective. But all right, so and then I wanted to give you guys just some little bit of information, a little bit of additional information. There's some basic information on the mobile app that I uploaded, so you can get that from the link that I have posted there. And then also Adobe Connect in June or July of this year published a white paper on HTML5, so I thought that it was something that this group would appreciate. So at this point, I'd like to go ahead and open up the floor for questions, if you want to raise your hand in Adobe Connect, and then we'll go there. So, Judith, we'll start with you.
Yes, this is Judith Hellestein for the record. Thanks, Josh, for this information. It's very helpful. When you just discussed the ideas about the web links, if someone is having a problem on mobile, I think, is there any option for them, or can they, like I think you mentioned once before that you are able to force a HTML link or something. Is that only for people on laptops, or is that also on mobile? And then I also have another question.
Okay, so let me make sure that I'm understanding your question correctly. So if you're on a mobile device and it won't open up the Adobe Connect room, is that what I'm understanding that you're asking?
Yeah. So if Sarah was getting bad feedback from the app and the app was not working well, would you be able to right now she had to get a audio call, but if there's a way maybe to force a web browser to do it, that also could be a solution.
Right. So this actually just really depends on the mobile device that you own. Because like as an Apple user, I wouldn't be able to go to the web version at this point. Now, within the 9 to 18 months, that will change, because once the websites are HTML5, then they will open up on an Apple device. But right now, they still are launching in Java, on the website. And which is why they have the mobile app. So kind of to answer your question is no, there really isn't a way around that at this point, to be able to do that. Now, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of control on the mobile app and what is published or designed or developed. So we're a little bit at the mercy of Adobe on this. However, the things that you are experiencing or that people are experiencing also means that a lot of other people are potentially experiencing it as well. So we hope that Adobe is addressing it. And we do put in tickets to Adobe to, let them know, the issues that we're experiencing from that. So the answer, which is not a great answer, but it's basically no, there isn't a way around that at this point, which is why we do offer the phone side of it, and we haven't gone to 100%. The application audio. So you had a second question?
So the second question is, as I understand about the pod, when you're talking about if you were having captioning and we have the different rooms, so right now, as it's currently configured, we can only have one pod, but that pod does not necessarily have to connect with it. If the room audio is in Spanish, the pod could be in English because we have an English interpreter. So we can choose which one we want to put in, and then the other one will just be a stream text link that other people could look at, and that could be posted in the chat or something else like that. That doesn't change, right?
Correct. You are correct in that.
Okay. Yeah, so potentially, since we have Spanish interpretation, if we had a Spanish translation, we could have either one pod. One pod has to be the one that's chosen, and the other one would have to be on a stream text link. But potentially that could be what we have, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep, yep. All right, so Olivia.
Yeah, thanks very much, Josh. Olivia Cartan-Ablon speaking. And I'm going to ask a question on the technical side of things where the different services are hosted. The previous Adobe Connect, was it icann.adobeconnect.com, was located in Dallas, Texas, I believe, where the Omniture, which is an Adobe company, was the hosting company. The current one is now hosted on DataPipe in San Jose. Have you conducted any trace routing or anything like that to find what the lowest delay is, or even delay and jitter and delay from different parts of the world before choosing that provider?
We did. The reason that we had gone with this particular one in San Jose was we were able to, the location that Connect Solutions had around the world, this was the one that we had that had the best connection with the Los Angeles data center that we have for ICANN. So we were able to do some direct peering with them directly. Now, the advantage that we have also with San Jose is that what we can potentially do is that if we are seeing a lot of, jitter or issues with that, say, for Singapore or, India, which is almost exactly opposite of where we are, where the data center is that we do have a second option now with this to be able to install a secondary server, on that side of the world. Now, this does complicate things a little bit because Adobe, when they designed it, didn't design it for an active situation to where that, we could have Los Angeles online and we could also have Singapore online at the same time and having both rooms. So, for example, this TTF room could be in, Los Angeles as well as in Singapore. They didn't design it to operate that way. So if we did it, there would be a TTF room Singapore and then a TTF room, North America or something like that. So we kind of ran into some, I guess, in my opinion, design flaws with Adobe, for them to be able to have redundancy and to be able to solve some of those issues. But to answer your question directly, they didn't have a lot in Europe to be able to do something there. It was mostly in the United States, or they had also one in Asia. But we went with the one in the United States partly because of our closeness to the Los Angeles Data Center, but also that we have the majority of our attendees are also still either North America or Europe. Yeah, I hope that kind of answers your question. And I can go back to you and provide offline and actually provide the results to you directly if you'd like as well. I'll have to go back and get those. I don't remember them off the top of my head.
If I could add, Josh, I'm particularly concerned, perhaps not with Europe and so on, because we have extensive links with North America. And although there is a 80 millisecond or 90 millisecond delay across the pond, of course, there's always going to be a pond somewhere in the world, so that's no big deal. But certainly some parts of our community are based in Asia and particularly in Africa. They don't have that much resilience in the number of paths that there are to several networks, and so their delay might be incurring in addition to what they have might actually be bigger because of the number of hops or the overall path that things have to take to go all the way down to San Jose. And I wondered, had you considered, and whether even Adobe Connect was comparable to this, compatible with this, which was to consider content delivery networks such as the Amazons and the Googles of this world, who effectively offer you this kind of your service is somewhere in the cloud, and depending on where you're based, the DNS is going to give you a different IP address bringing you in touch with a server that's supposedly, or at least the front end of the server, being closer to you.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. No, that is definitely, you know, one of the things that we tried to explore with them. And that's kind of what I was referring with the active-active. Adobe, the platform itself was not designed to be able to do that, which is really unfortunate. And I'm hoping to see that change, because as they get more enterprise customers on board, you know, we're not the only ones that face these issues, you know, and exactly that, you know, I mean, when we were in Durban, you know, I mean, we were seeing, you know, 230-second, you know, millisecond delay, you know, back to Dallas when it was in Dallas. It's, you know, and at that point, it almost becomes, you know, unusable by your response time. But, yes, I definitely do see that, and, you know, it is something that we are active. And that is one of the things that we try to, you know, work with them and try to set up peering sessions. So if there is somewhere in, you know, that someone who is really having an issue, you know, that is in Africa somewhere or whatever, it, that we're able to, we can request now to set up peering sessions with their service provider so that we can minimize the amount of hops that that person might be going through. So there is some things that we can do now that we have more control and access to our back end to be able to kind of help and resolve those issues. So I appreciate you bringing them up. It looked like Dev had a question, but I think he may have dropped off.
No, this is Dave. I was putting myself in the queue. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Thanks for the presentation, Josh. And actually, thanks, Olivier, and regarding that question regarding, you know, possibly having, like, how gets pairing audio, I guess, like, audio servers, like, in different regions so that to minimize latency is something, I think, is something that could be looked at. So I know Baran had who's probably not in the Adobe Connect room, had some challenges with using the new Adobe Connect URL with the Safari browser. So I guess if I want, just want to see if is Baran still can speak to this? Let's see. And if not, then I can just summarize what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She did mention that she was in a noisy area, so maybe she could not. Maybe she's offline now. Let's see, I'm seeing Cherry just typing. Okay. Well, maybe she was in a. Maybe she can't talk right this moment. But all right, I'll come back to it. Essentially, what she was saying was that. When she tries to connect the link in Safari, it keeps saying it's asking for a prompt to update the flash, and the page just keeps reloading with that flash plugin not working. So I guess this is something that perhaps we can help test with Baran with staff, because I know staff does use Mac as well. So we could probably look to have a special session with Baran to solve this.
Dev,
Judith?
I'm using Safari right now, and I don't have any problems. So it also may be, I don't know what version she's using, but all I can tell you is I am not on the latest operating system, so maybe it has something to do with the later operating system. Because I'm only on 10.9.5, and I don't know if Baran is on a later one, and that's not working. But I know I'm on 10.9.5 in operating system, and in Safari I'm using version 9.1, so I don't know about whether it's that.
This is Josh. This is something we can definitely help with. You know, this is these little type of issues, you know, we see with our own staff, and it's usually fairly easy for us to fix. So what I would just ask is if we can get a screenshot of the error that she has, and then she can either email myself or Mike or send it in to tech-support at icann.org, and we're more than happy to help troubleshoot, you know, from that. And I'm going to put a URL in chat that I would encourage everybody to use. And what this does is basically it kind of tests out your system to be able to make sure that Adobe Connect can run on your system or if you need to do any updates. So if you go there, it'll run through a little test, you know, and kind of say, you know, try to update your Flash for you, and it'll add the add-in if you need. But that is really helpful. So, but yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So if there's something, if you want to send her our way, more than happy to help with that. So thank you.
Great. Thanks, Josh, for that. And I guess one observation, thinking about your presentation. So regarding the multilingual chat pod, perhaps what can happen is that maybe when the budget request period is open in, I believe the timeline is late December for budget requests from the various ACs and SOs, the TTF could consider submitting a budget request for that multilingual chat pod, given the implementation cost.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I just realized that I think I may, I did skip a line when I was going through this, that, you know, the community support would be really helpful on this project. You know, if this is something that as a community members, you guys think that is really important, you know, I feel like it's kind of like saying write your senators. You know, if you let ICANN know that you feel like this is a priority and should be, that helps me be able to allocate the funding, you know, when we have various groups and folks saying, you know, look, this is important for us to have. That goes a long way with us.
Well, this is Dave, and it would be very, I think, very important for at large to support, I think, especially for Lac Rallo, you know, where we have multiple language communities, English, Spanish, and Portuguese, and as well, and French. often we're just using cut and paste between the chat pod and Google Translate from both language communities when you're trying to communicate. So, Judith, your hand is raised.
Judith Helson for record. We've got in the TTF several different questions about problems with the voice over IP audio issues. And they are also not only from countries that have good bandwidth, like James Gannon from Ireland, and others, and I don't know whether these are old issues during the hiccups of the first 2 weeks or whether it's a more significant thing, and wondering about that.
So thanks, Judith. This is Josh. Thanks for the question. No, I can say that it probably was true issues in the first couple of weeks that we rolled this out. This starting as of today, we're hoping that the audio and everything has been worked out. The guys did a bunch of operational things over the weekend, and so we hope that we have everything kind of refined and smoothed out between. Really, some of our big issues was between PGI, our telephone provider, and Adobe, and so we think we've got those finally worked out. But, you know, again, if anybody has any issues, you know, let us know. Try to give us as much information as you can, you know, what time the call was, you know, what provider was, what number you were trying to call into. The more information you can give us, it makes it a lot easier for us to be able to go back to the telephone providers and say, you know, hey, what's going on here? You know, why did we have issues here? Or, you know, can we replicate the issues, that type of thing. So, you know, like I said, you guys, you know, let staff know if you're having issues. You know, but also keep in mind, too, that they may be localized issues, and so we'll try to help out, you know, and establish that and try to troubleshoot those. And if it's something where it's, you know, on an active call, let us know. You can hit us up via Skype or anything, or staff can hit us up via Skype, and we'll jump into the room and see if we can help troubleshoot. Because we have been able to jump into some rooms, and we see the problem and we're able to record it or be able to, you know, take a snapshot of it to be able to give to, you know, the other techs, you know, with the other companies and be able to provide that back to them. And it helps resolve the issue much quicker.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Josh. All right. Let's see. We do have another agenda item. And it's coming to 10 minutes before the hour. So Josh, thanks so very much for this presentation and taking the time to answer our questions. And we obviously look forward to continue to work with you to address these technology challenges with Adobe Connect as ICANN moves forward. Okay, so the technology issues page. We just wanted to focus on two of the technology issues. We do have an update on the LACRALO mailing list issues. Perhaps Karina or Mark would like to take the floor to just give an update on this issue.
Sure. Hi, this is Karina. Thank you for having us today. So as far as the LACRALO mailing list issue, we have, as we've reported in the past month or so, dedicated development resources working on resolving the bugs. So the team's been making steady progress on all the bugs. And as of the end of last week, development is complete and all but one of the bugs has been addressed. The bug that hasn't been resolved was a non-critical bug, and it's related to capitalization of a proper noun that Google Translate understands as an abbreviation. So this team is still looking into possible workarounds related to that bug. So now that we've gotten to this place, though, with the other critical bugs addressed, we're focusing on finishing regression testing and preparing a launch strategy that's consistent with the rest of our IT services. So we will be working with Dave to do some final review and acceptance testing and then scheduling a formal launch of the fixes. So I'm really happy to report this progress and really thankful for the patience of the task force and all the support from Mark and also the talented and hardworking development team that we've been fortunate to work with. So we will give the task force an official update when the fixes are released into production soon.
Okay.
And Mark, please let me know if I missed anything.
This is Mark. No, that was a great update, Karina. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Karina. This is Dave. So just to confirm, I've seen some of the testing messages going out as they were testing these things. So I think we probably then do another round of testing so we can and see if we can identify any new or possibly any other, not necessarily regressions, but any new bugs that we detect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's somewhat part of what the testing focus team is working on now to see if really fix these bugs, if other bugs can be identified, and if there's any sort of situation that comes up where a bug maybe would not be resolved with a different type of, mailing host or sort of a situation we might not have anticipated. So, absolutely. And we can work very closely together. Dave, I'll be in touch this week to talk about what we think is the best route for testing and if you have any additional tests you want to do, and then obviously make sure that you're involved in the final round of those user acceptance testing before we launch anything.
Great. Indeed. Okay, thanks for that, Karina. And I know there's also a few other persons that we can also pull in to help test with the translation engine. Judith.
Dev, this is Judith for the record. My question is not on that. It's on the other items on the technology issue page. Waiting
for that. Oh, okay, fine. All right. Other comments or questions regarding the LACRALO mailing list issues? Okay. All right. So the second technology issue that's been noted, and Judith will probably speak on it, is the use of custom email addresses. Judith?
So this is Judith Helsing for the record. So we understand from IT that we can't get, generic email addresses. So like in sense that we wanted to have like a technology task force general email that would reach, so that instead of us putting out all our personal email addresses, we could have one generic one that we could use. Or besides that, we could also, and we understand that the reason why this can't be done is that there's a need to archive and to make all the messages available publicly. But so that was my question. Is there another workaround? I thought if we can't get generic email addresses because of security issues, we could do team listservs or something like that. And I'm wondering if someone from IT can discuss this and sort of tell us, advise us of how we could go forward.
Okay, thanks, Judith. So the issue regarding can there be specialty email addresses like using Neuralo as an example, like chair@neuralo.org and so forth. And I'm thinking the workaround with having in the mail sort of a mailing list where a custom email address is then posted to that mailing list, it gets distributed to the current leadership of Neuralo. And the idea being is that I think for the in future when there's changes in the leadership, it's just a question of adding the new persons and removing the previous persons in that position.
Right. And the idea also is like if it's a TTF, we won't have to be people. Sometimes people are left off, or not all the co-chairs are put in. But if we had a like TTF email, TTF leadership email list, we could just write that address, and it will be distributed to everyone, and that will make sure that everyone who's on leadership gets the correct information. And if that's a possibility, then that could also work for us.
This is Dave, indeed. Does anybody from staff have any observations or comments on this?
This is Mark Siegel. I don't really have a comment other than I'm just taking notes here and can chat with some of our internal team, see if, what other... maybe for an action item for me to come back with some options, if that works for this team.
This is Dave. I think that'll be fine. So thanks for that.
Yeah, Dave. It says Sylvia posted in the chat that we can have a mailing list, so hopefully that can work. My other question was on the technology issue page. We never marked off as done or not. The remote participation in the ICON face-to-face meetings. And this was where I found out when we're at the meeting, if you're monitoring another room and you're listening in on the Adigo and the question, the room is in English, but the question is in Spanish or French, you can't, the person, you don't hear, you'll hear the raw audio is then, you hear that Spanish or French instead of the English. And I think these were fixed so that that if you click on the English-only stream, you would get English-only even if the questions will be sent to Spanish. But maybe IT, and if that's the case, then we can mark this as resolved on the technology issues page.
This is Dave. Yes, indeed. I was waiting to put in the actual notes for how this was resolved before I marked it off as complete. So that's I guess that's an action item. I believe Mark did submit an email to the TTF list addressing this. So I think we can mark it off as complete. But I just need to actually find that email and put it in the solution /workarounds column. So I guess that's a little action item for us to update that. Okay. I know it's coming to the top of the hour. Let's see. Any other business that anyone wants to raise? Okay. Going once. Going twice. Okay. So, like, so just a quick update on next steps. We're looking to have another special purpose TTF call with Lutz Donhacker on the OpenPGP. And we're looking to see if that can be done for next week or possibly the week after that. We are planning to have a TTF session in at ICANN 57. So we'll also be sharing on the mailing list some ideas for the proposed agenda. Judith? Your hand is raised.
Judith Helsing. I was on mute. It's Judith Helsing. So are we going to be, is there another time when we could be able to testing the exit polling feature to see if that works better on surveys than on either polls or surveys, so that either people on mobile can actually use it, or people who are on a Digo could be given a web link to use it, or something like that?
Well, this is Dave. I think we could probably let's see if we could work with staff, because the staff will have to implement that feature in an Adobe Connect session, and then we could then probably do a short testing session with Adobe Connect before the month ends. Okay.
Yeah. And can we add? So can we make this an action item?
Sure. And I see it's been noted. And Satish also notes the point that it may be interesting to do a quick survey on the OSs used by the at-large community so that we understand our user base better. I think that's an interesting idea, Satish. It's certainly something to consider. Perhaps that's part of even a wider at-large survey, because the last at-large survey was done in 2010, I believe. So it's probably due for update on having a new survey of at large done. Might be something in the works that we should consider. Okay. Once, seeing no further hands raised, I'd like to thank everyone for this call. Very informative. And thanks again to Josh, Karina, and Mark for giving some great updates on the technology issues that we're currently facing. And I'd like to thank to all of you, and to the interpreters as well. So have a wonderful good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you all. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.